Welcome to the Free to Lead podcast, journeys of leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. My name is Will Steele. I'm the host of the show. I'm a transformational business and leadership coach. I say transform the business owner, you transform the business. So if you want to be the fullest version of yourself in the world, decisive, taking clear action, moving forward, producing the kind of results and having the kind of impact you really want to have in your business, in your life, and in the world, then stay tuned. The people on this show that we interview are handpicked. They've got pearls of wisdom. They're going to share their breakdowns, breakthroughs, their challenges, what they've dealt with, how they've grown, and how they've become free to lead. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be telling you how you can get in contact in about 20 minutes' time. Right now, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Free to Lead, Journeys of Leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. And today I've got Colin Herdman. Colin is an entrepreneur, been an entrepreneur since he left college. And he helps founders and sales executives and business coaches grow their networks, leads and sales through LinkedIn. And he also volunteers to sit on the board of the MN Blockchain Initiative. All right, let's find out what that's all about. Colin, hi, welcome to Free to Lead.
Thanks so much. I'm really excited to be on the podcast today.
All right, great. Can you tell me what you do? Because it's not quite clear for me what you actually, you promote people on LinkedIn by the sound of it, but if you give us a bit backstory about how you got here.
Yeah, for sure. So I, as you said, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I started my first company a week after graduating from college with a criminal justice degree that I never used. I never took a business accounting or marketing class in college. So I learned entrepreneurship kind of trial by fire and really have enjoyed all the ups and downs that entrepreneurship offers. That first company I had for a little over a decade and then sold it. And then in 2007, I started Monkey Island Ventures with two buddies of mine. We've all known each other since we were about 5 years old. And Monkey Island is named after a park we used to play at when we were kids, located here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in Minnesota. And so since 2007, we've launched probably close to a dozen SaaS products over the years. We have a digital marketing company, a software development company that have about 40 employees between the two. And then I kicked off Rainmaker, a LinkedIn productized service that I've been doing about 7 years for our own products and services. But then I started offering this as a kind of a business model about a year ago. And so that's our quote unquote startup underneath the Monkey Island Ventures umbrella. So that's it in a nutshell. And I'm happy to dive into any details around any of that.
So who's your ideal kind of customer then? For, and what is it that you provide? What is it you're actually doing for them?
Yeah. When I do kind of growth hacking through LinkedIn, I want LinkedIn to be a revenue driver for my company. I want to use LinkedIn in a way that it's growing up my network, my leads, and sales. And that's the same approach that I use when I'm helping my clients leverage LinkedIn. So there's a software and process that I've developed that sit on the back end. And really what I'm doing is just automating certain things within LinkedIn that are really helping my clients grow their network, leads, and sales, but they have to also abide by this philosophy that I have and that I've been using, which is you have to be authentic and genuine on LinkedIn. I think most people do a good job of that. And you got to be authentic and genuine to yourself and to the brands that you represent, conversational in tone. I think that's what most people expect. The second thing is you have to approach LinkedIn with an educational mindset because nobody wants to be sold on LinkedIn, right? So we get those spammy messages, people trying to sell us. That just doesn't work. And then the third thing is you have to, as a founder or as anybody that sits in a sales or marketing seat, you have to know what are the pains and barriers your prospects are trying to overcome. And then from there, you need to understand what is it they want to be educated on? And most importantly, what is it that you can teach? What can they learn from you? And to me, that's the philosophy for success on LinkedIn, which is being authentic and genuine, coming in with an educational mindset and figuring out what it is your audience can learn from you. What can you teach? So that's that top layer. There's two other layers underneath it. One is around audience building. And then the final is just around a very specific strategy set that I use that anybody can use. The thing about Rainmakers, I'm not doing anything anybody couldn't do manually. I'm just simply automating some best practices on LinkedIn, which is saving time. But what I really love is just sharing my expertise on what your audience should be doing very specifically on LinkedIn. And I think that's where I could provide a ton of value. But I'll stop there and pause and just see if you have any questions or I could continue.
I'm in a few different business masterminds. To be the big, how do you get your posts to get circulated on LinkedIn? You can do your posts, you can do a great job of your posts, you're authentically trying to make a contribution, educate people, value, so that you make the right kind of connections with your ideal kind of clients. Put a lot of time into a really great post and it just doesn't seem to see anybody seems to see it.
Yeah, I know. I understand that pain point for sure. And so a point of clarification is just this demarcation line where when I'm working with clients and really what I'm focused on even for myself most of the time is I'm not focusing at all on my clients' profiles and I'm not helping them at all with organic posts. What I do has nothing to do with organic posts. It has nothing to do with likes and comments and those kinds of things. It's a different way of using LinkedIn. And maybe I'll just quickly get into that and then you can certainly interrupt me or let me know if you have questions. But
yeah,
we talked about the philosophy, right? That educational mindset, being authentic and genuine. Underneath that then is starting to build out an audience. Who is it that you want to be connecting to? Who's your ideal client profiles? What does that look like? And I'm almost always using Sales Navigator. And Sales Navigator is the sales tool that LinkedIn provides. Half my clients have Sales Navigator, the other half don't. If they don't have it, then I'll use mine to build out the audiences. And then there's two other kind of growth hacks that your audience could think about using on LinkedIn. One are LinkedIn events. So if you have any direct competitors that are putting on a LinkedIn event, or if there's an industry organization that is putting on a LinkedIn event around a topic that your business solves for, if you go and attend that event, you can see everyone else that's also attending that event. And you can actually start to build out an audience of people that are publicly raising their hand and saying, this is who I am, and I'm interested in learning more about this topic, okay? So that's one growth hack, is using other events to start building out prospect lists. The second would be identifying a thought leader in your space that you could use as a proxy. So for example, there's a woman that has about 70,000 followers on LinkedIn, and she talks a lot about LinkedIn profiles and LinkedIn posts and all those kinds of things. I connected with her, so now we're first connections, and because her connections are open, I can actually start building out a list through, you could use regular LinkedIn search, I use Sales Navigator, where I can say, okay, I want to see everyone that's a first connection to her, but is a second connection to me that is a founder or a sales executive or a business coach, right? Because they're most likely following her because they want to learn from her how best to use LinkedIn. Therefore, they're probably a good candidate for Rainmaker, right? So that's an example of how I'll use another person as a proxy to help me build out a prospect list, okay? So that's that second layer around audience building, typically using Sales Navigator and then using LinkedIn events and LinkedIn thought leaders as a proxy. Those are a couple other ways of honing in on audiences as well. So the bottom layer then is around activating that audience, okay? And this is where it gets very prescriptive. So the number one thing that you need to be doing is continually building out your first degree connections. I think a lot of people undervalue the value of a first degree connection. I would much rather have that over someone's email. I could always work backwards and get someone's email if I felt like I needed to communicate with them that way. But when you have a LinkedIn first degree connection, it opens up all of these features and functions within LinkedIn to build relationship with these people over time. And what I do when I identify an audience for myself or for a client is starting to reach out and to connect. So what we typically do is reaching out to 25 people a day, Monday through Friday during normal working hours. So it's 125 people a week, 500 people a month. We are not using a connection message most of the time. If someone doesn't connect within 30 days, then we withdraw the invite, right? A lot of times people aren't connecting back. It's not they don't want to connect, but it just, your invite gets lost in all the other alerts and it just gets pushed down. So it's good hygiene to go in and remove invites that you've sent to people that's over a month old. And again, you can do all these things manually if you want. And then with those first degree connections, it's also under, you know, what LinkedIn has as like a weekly limit. So that allows you to still go to like in-person networking events and connect with people organically throughout the week as well on LinkedIn. So that's that growing network of first degree connections that allow you to continually tap into that first degree network for some of the other activities that you can do. So one of those is we're typically bolting on like a messaging campaign where that first message is just thanking them for the connection authentically, right? And you're not selling anything. You're not even trying to help. You're just thanking them for the connection. The second message and beyond then is where you really not need to provide value. That could be in the form of asking them a really thoughtful question. That could be providing them an asset that you built out that you want to share with them. Or maybe a third party has built out an asset of high value that you want to share with them. Maybe there's a LinkedIn poll you'd like to invite them to. Maybe there's a LinkedIn event, whether it's in person or a LinkedIn live stream that you want to invite them to, right? There's all these things that you can do to activate that audience with thought leadership and really adding value to the relationship without selling and helping you further that relationship in ways where they start to trust you, they start to know you, and it gives you that opportunity then with this growing first degree network that you touched on is that when you're posting any organic content, you now have a larger audience of ICPs that are potentially seeing this content as well as some of the other content that you'd be sending them directly. The one other thing that I would say is a very typical campaign that I like to use for myself is building out these first degree connections, messaging people in really thoughtful ways. An example would be sales executives here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, where I'm just thanking them and mentioning in that thank you message that we're both in the Twin Cities. And then my follow-up message is asking them if they know of any good networking events here. My third message was inviting them to participate in a LinkedIn poll. And so of the 350 people I reached out to connect with, about 150 connected back. Of that 150, I got around 40 to participate in my LinkedIn poll. And then I invited them a couple of weeks after the LinkedIn poll to learn from me on a LinkedIn live stream. And I think I got around 50 of them to register for my LinkedIn live stream. And my LinkedIn live stream is learn how to grow your network leads and sales on LinkedIn. It's a half hour live stream where I'm really diving into some of the details that I'm even talking about here today. But it's a deck that I've used over and over again over the last year, and I've made improvements over time. But the beauty of it is that I'm targeting with these LinkedIn live streams, sales executives. I will target separately founders, presidents, CEOs. I will target separately from that, like business coaches or fractionals is another vertical that I've built out. And so you can use everything that I've talked about in ways of growing out your first degree network, ways of adding value to them in the LinkedIn ecosystem with your thought leadership and knowing the pains and barriers that they're trying to overcome with assets that you can give them, LinkedIn polls, LinkedIn live streams. Again, you need to position yourself as a thought leader, regardless of whether you're a founder, whether you sit in a marketing or a sales seat. That is your job. That's your role. And that's how you can really leverage LinkedIn to grow out your network, your leads, and your sales.
Got it. Hey, I got it. Wow, got it. And what have been some of the challenges for you with building this? How big's the business now?
It's just me right now, and I have about 30 clients. Yeah. I'd say about a third of them are fractional solopreneurs, individual founders. About the other third are founders and co-founders of, but they have a team of probably anywhere from like 10 to 50 employees. And then the other third are bigger companies where I have some of their sales team on the platform. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things I need to figure out in 2025 is like, who's my ideal client set. But I really like working with all three of those verticals, if you will. It's great. And the process is exactly the same. It doesn't matter whether you're a fractional solopreneur or whether you're a salesperson in a 10,000 person company. That process I explained to you is what they all should be doing.
You have this business and you have other businesses also. You mentioned two others.
Yeah. So we have a digital marketing company that's been around for over a decade now. And my business partner, Josh, is the president of that. And then we also have a software development company that my other business partner, Zach, is the CEO of that. And that they work with very different types of customers. Agurian, our digital marketing company, works generally with small but mighty marketing teams and companies that are probably 25 to 25 million plus in revenue. Cloudburst is our software development company, and we're almost exclusively just working with founders and helping them build software the way that we've always wanted to build software, which is fast, low cost, really leveraging no code, low code, and AI to build out quick products so we can see if the market responds. So those are the two service-based companies that we have. And then Rainmaker is a little over a year old.
Good. Great. Good. So for yourself, what if we could wave a magic wand, where would you like it all to be in 12 months?
That's a great question. I think with my focus being on Rainmaker, what I would probably to see the business doubled in a year. I think I could still run that pretty much just myself. And I think I would learn a lot by just bringing on more clients, figuring out what kind of questions and thoughts they have, and starting to figure out more who my ideal client is. But yeah, that's pretty much where it is. And I think at some point, right now, my clients just interact with me. I think at some point, I might create more of a front-end experience online for my clients. Yeah. But right now, they just interact with me and they get my expertise. And then they also get the automation that I put in place.
Yeah. So if you doubled the business in 12 months, so that's, I think you said you had, did you say you have 25 or 30 clients?
What was it? Yep. Around 25, 30 clients, somewhere in there. Yep.
So if you had 60 clients, is that like getting to the maximum you can do on your own?
Yeah, I think that would probably be pretty close because the way that I've set it up, I do some handholding with my clients, which I think on one hand works out really well for them and for me because I'm understanding the nuance of what my clients want and I'm able to better build out, I think, Rainmaker as a productized service. The downside is it just takes more of my time. Okay. I could certainly begin to hire people to do what I do, but right now I think I really want to just lean into the business model and learn as much as I can and really create processes around everything that I'm doing in a way that would make bringing on any employees that much easier.
So in 5 years' time, where would you like it all to be? If we had a magic wand, it all worked out.
I would say having a front end that clients are interacting with, having a strong customer support and strategy. I think there would be certainly a heavier element of AI in that. So that would be one. If there was opportunity potentially for an exit, that could be another one. But yeah, certainly I would like to continue to build on the momentum that we have at this point.
Great. And if you had just the way you said it, what would that do for you?
I think there's some other things that we are leaning into that are more built around supporting entrepreneurs and supporting the like more startup entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs. We have a lot of passion, Josh, Zach, and I have a lot of passion around that. The world needs more entrepreneurs. Part of Monkey Island Ventures' vision is to allow us to help as many entrepreneurs be successful as we can. And I would love to be able to scale out some of the things that are really entrepreneur focused, where revenue wouldn't be a key driver necessarily. It would be really helping out these other entrepreneurs and helping them thrive.
Great. And what would be the best part about that?
Seeing more entrepreneurs succeed. Entrepreneurs, I think, in a lot of ways, and even I would include this, small business owners to startup, it's the lifeblood of our local communities, and supporting them would just mean a lot. It would mean sustainability within those communities. It would mean allowing those individuals that want to own their own business and be entrepreneurial. If that, to me, I think is one of the hardest roads someone can take, but it's also one of the most rewarding and one of the most important. And that's just one of the things that we're just super passionate about.
Great. What do you think could be, I don't know, slowing you down, getting in your way, even stopping you from accomplishing this all as fast as you'd like to?
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down to the choices that we as founders and owners, decision makers make. And granted, most of the decisions you make that don't work out are not going to be catastrophic. But at the same time, if you're making decisions that are slowing the business down, those unintentional consequences mean you're just not moving at the speed you need to be moving. So I think to boil your question down, it would just be trying to make the right decisions and pivot as fast as we can to mitigate any mistakes that we're making that might be causing a slowdown with the growth of our companies.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking for you personally. You personally, what do you think could be getting in your way, or what gets in your way? What slows you down? What, you know, inhibits you from making the kind of moves and impact you really want to make?
I think some of it can be put on us as owners, as entrepreneurs, and that would be what I was alluding to, decisiveness of decisions and action. I think the other side of it would be around resources, right? Mm-hmm. How much time, how much money are we putting into which businesses at what time, and looking at the overall landscape of, we're pretty heavy in tech. So looking at the overall landscape in tech around software development, around digital marketing, around LinkedIn, what types of investments and what type of time do you want to make and where? I think that's probably the number one thing.
Mm. All right, good. Anything else you can see that might be slowing you down, getting in your way, stopping you?
No, I think that's it. We've been doing this long enough that we don't have a lot of questions around business models. We don't have a lot of questions around marketing, sales. It's more about, I think, figuring out what it is that we're really excited about. What do we enjoy doing? And ensuring that we're taking care of the ongoing companies, but also leaning into other areas that we just have a lot of passion around.
Great. Great. So if you could speed up the decisiveness and you could get the resources, what would that do for you?
It would probably reduce just general stress on thinking about like where the businesses are at and what the businesses need. So that would be certainly one benefit. I think having more freedom to work on the things that really charge us emotionally is another huge benefit. If you're working on things that you're really passionate about, that's really, I think, the height of what we can all yearn for when we're working on these different endeavors.
All right, great. All right, great. Awesome. How would people reach out if they wanted to find out more about your services on LinkedIn and growing their network, but growing their first, what do you call it, first tier, their
first degree connections?
Uh-huh. First degree connections, yeah.
Yeah. So rainmakergrows.com is the website. So I'm turning it into a learning resource as well, so people can go there. If you click on the free consultation button, that books time directly with me. And then I'm also the only Colin Herdman on the internet. So feel free to reach out to me through LinkedIn. And I love chatting and helping people out. So don't hesitate to reach out if you have questions or want to connect.
Great, Colin. Thanks for being on the show. It's been great having you and quite illuminating given the ways to grow on LinkedIn. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Great.
Will Steele here. Thanks so much for listening to the Free to Lead podcast, Journeys of Leaders, Driven by Passion, Inspired by Purpose. If you're a successful leader and you're driven by passion, and you're inspired by your purpose, and you'd love to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. Just visit podcast.willsteele.com. That's podcast.willsteele.com. Will Steele is spelled W-I-L-L-S-T-E-E-L, all one word. If you got something out of today's interview, and you'd love to share it on your social media, we'd love you to do that. You can take a screenshot on your phone, you can text it to a friend or post it on your socials. And if you know someone you think they'd be a great guest, tag them on social media or just let them know about the show and include the hashtag #FreeToLead. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. And to make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, and your comments go a long way to help promote the show, and that means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to our website, willsteele.com, or follow me on LinkedIn under Will Steele, or Facebook under Will Steele, or Instagram under Will Steele Coaching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.